Well, today we're going to continue on in our sermon series, and this series is our second one on the church and the portions therein, and we're looking at the church, its head. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be beginning in verse 13 through 20. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, going through verse 20. In the scriptures here, Paul, is the apostle, is speaking to the church at Colossae, and he's talking about God the Father and you know, accentuating who God is and the reality that these people have come to understand God's grace and they're walking in God's grace. So he's having a conversation to them about God, and from the 13th verse, this is what the apostle Paul says to us: "Hearken unto the word of the Lord. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in every form, or so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Blessed be the word of the Lord to our immortal souls." Verse 18 here is the key verse I want you all to look at. He says that he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. Now, I asked the children here just a few moments ago, what does head mean? And when we think of the head, we think of several different things, especially as adults. We think a little bit deeper than the children do. That kind of throws them off when you ask a question like that. What's it mean to be the head? Well, isn't that the thing at the top of your shoulders? Okay. We know it means something different. We know that God is trying to tell us something about himself in position to whom we are and how we are to respond to him. Okay? Because we are part of his creation. And he's giving us a metaphor of a body. That the church is a body. And at the top of that body is the head. Because we all know how important our head is. Without our head, we can't think. We can't see. We can't hear. We can't taste. We can't eat. We can't smell. As I spoke to the children. I need water. See how important your head is? I'd have never been able to quench that thirst. And I certainly wouldn't be speaking these words. Because without the head, I have no words to speak. As Christ is my head, the only words that I should be speaking are what? His words. The reality of them and how important they are in our lives. Because without the head, we have no direction. The head gives us direction. And the head gives us those things which we need to create and be who we are. Without your brain, without your head, you would have no creative ability. Am I right? Without the head, without the brain, without the reality of who we are, there would be no realizing the hope that we have. So without the head, there's a lot missing. For us today, I want us to think about just what that means, and I'm going to look at three different aspects of head, because there are so many more. But the first one I want us to look at is leader. What does it mean to be the head except to be a leader? You are the one out front, right? You are the one that people are supposed to follow. You are the one who is bringing order to things. You are the one who's bringing direction to things. Turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1. From the 22nd verse in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, we read these words: "And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." When we read this verse, when we see here that God has placed everything under His feet, okay, we need to assume, no, we know, because the Word's telling us, that Jesus has supremacy and authority over all things on heaven and earth. Whatever is to be, Christ has authority over it. Christ has the direction therein. Christ is the eternal leader. He has been set up for this since before the creation of the world, because that is His purpose, to bring all things into creation and to order them. All right? When we understand that, we understand what it means to be a leader. All the responsibility is whose? The leader. How many of you at work argue with your bosses? We think they're the dumbest people we ever saw come down the pike. I could do things 10 times faster and 50 different ways, and I'm telling you that I can do it. One thing you need to remember: God never asked your opinion. Okay? He wants to know how you feel as you're going about it, but God never asked your opinion. He didn't say, well, what do you think about it? Do you think we should do it this way or that way? No, God says, thou shalt and thou shalt. Let's try that again. God says, thou shalt and thou shalt. There was a little bit of hesitation there. I didn't know if you didn't understand that leadership. God has the way that we're supposed to go. Everything is under His authority, not ours. And as we come to that place of submitting ourselves to He who is the head, sometimes it's going to come into contradiction. Sometimes we're going to disagree and think, well, I think it should be this way. Well, the reality is, God knows what you think. That's why He said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. All right? He knows what's right and He knows what's wrong. You know, I think it's most amazing because we tell our kids the very same thing, don't we? My mom, oh, God, I love Lillian. All right? I love her with all my heart. She's my mom. But my mom would do something and she'd tell me to do something other. And I'd say, but mom, she says, don't you argue with me. I told you to do this. I said, well, why do I have to? Because I'm your mother. And I said so. And it's so amazing to me, because that's exactly what God says. I am God, and I said so. Now, the awesome thing is, I know my mom did things a little backwards. All right? God love her. She still does. Mom, if you're listening to this now, forgive me. But the truth stings. And here's the reality. When we listen to whom God is and what He says, you know, sometimes we do have to simply take it at face value. Why? Because our sinful being wants what we want. We crave what we crave. Am I right? We want it because we're used to doing it this way. We want it because, and a brother said it in discipleship hour, the word S-I-N equates to the word F-U-N in this world. Doesn't it? I mean, that was a truth that will stand the test of time. And we want our F-U-N, so therefore let my S-I-N alone. And God says, no. He said, do what I say. In fact, I think it's one of the most amazing things, because God literally tells us that we're supposed to do something, and then He says, now, if you love me, you will do as I have commanded. So what is following our leader? It's a choice, okay? We can choose to follow God. You know what? We choose our own thoughts, don't we? In our own brain, in our mind, in our being, in our lives, we choose our own thoughts. There are many times that you're thinking about something, and you all know this, you've all been there. You can go left, you can go right, you can go down the middle road. There's all kinds of directions that you can take. And what, did you flip a coin? No, you choose. Well, I'm just going to close my eyes and let the car go wherever it's going to go. We don't go through life like that, do we? We make choices. And God's asking us, are we going to choose His leadership or are we going to choose someone else's? Because I hate to tell you this, there's two leaders in this world. There's a leader of light and the leader of darkness. And when you do not choose God, you are choosing darkness. That's a reality. You may not like that. You may think, oh, no. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm choosing good things. Really? If you're not choosing God, there's good in that? Where? How? Here's the reality. You've got two choices. You can choose to follow God or you can choose to follow Satan. That's it. Brothers and sisters, I can't make it any clearer than that. There is one leader in our world, and His name is Jesus Christ. Everything else is a fake. Everything else leads you unto death and damnation. And that's truth. I cannot speak that. Look what the Word says. What does the Word say? And God placed some things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over a lot. No. What does it say? And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. We need to realize you don't get a vote. I don't get a vote. God dictates to us what we need to be doing. Now, that calls for reason, doesn't it? That means we need to be locked in to the head so we get the message. If I remove your head from your shoulders, is the message going to get to the rest of your body? We need to be connected to the head in such a way that everything that is coming from Him is being bestowed upon us so that we can see the good, hear the direction, smell the roses in the midst of the manure pile, and taste and know that the Lord is good. We need to be connected to that head. We need to be one with Him. Because as we are one with Him, we begin to see another aspect of what it means to be the head. And that is the fact that He is the equipper. All right? Second point. He is the equipper of the church. In Ephesians 4, 9 through 13, God gives us His reality. Ephesians 4, 9 through 13. And this is speaking of Christ. Paul here is speaking of the body of Christ, and here he's telling us about Christ, how He descended into hell and raised to heaven. And he speaks these words. He says, what does He ascended mean, except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you see what's going on here? When we take Christ as our leader, and when we take Christ as our head, and we place that on, and we get connected, He now enables us. When you sat down as a child and determined that you wanted to be what you finally are as an adult, how did you get there? Did it just happen? Oh, wow, looky there. No, we went into training, didn't we? We went to school. You know, and for you young people who are out here today, you think, oh, school's a waste of time. You know, I could be better benefited by starting a job and getting out there and working hard. Well, guess what? If that's the case, that's all you're going to do the rest of your life is work hard. You're going to break your body, and when you get old, you're not going to have a whole lot to prove for it. But when you get educated and you understand and you know and you learn how to process, you can think critically and you can move into the realities that God has for you. When we understand that God has equipped each and every one of us because He's the giver of good gifts, right? He has equipped each and every one of us to do a work within the body, okay? I have an arm. I don't walk on it. I talk with it, right? And for those listening to our sermons, if you've never seen me, you know why everybody's laughing. Because the reality is I do talk with my hands. But my hands are used for gestures. Their hands are used for working. My hands are used for feeding me. They have a purpose. And they succeed very well at that purpose because they're connected to the brain. And I don't even have to think about where my hands are going or what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, there they are, just flailing about. Because my hands are connected to the brain and they're doing the work that they're to do. So is my heart. So are my lungs. So are my kidneys. So are my, you name it. Any part of me is doing the operation that it is meant to do simply because it's connected and I don't have to think about it. How many of you, being bipeds, realize how difficult it is to truly stand on two legs and walk? It's the most difficult form of transportation. Why? Because it calls for keeping the spine completely parallel to the ground and being held upright. Now, folks, we don't have bolts hinges, okay? What do we have? Bones and ligaments and tendons. We're held together by water, believe it or not, because 80% of the body or 90% of the body is water. How does it stand upright? How does it move? How does it do what it does? Because God has designed it in that manner, that every part, as it does its work, does the accomplishment to which God has set it forward. And when you're walking, do you think about, okay, right foot, left foot, right foot, right foot, bend the knee, pick up the toes. Oh my God, do you realize how many things are happening in my brain right now just to make me walk, especially this exaggerated? Okay? I'm going to trip anyhow. When we go through life and Christ is our head, we don't have to think about what we're doing. He's doing the thinking. When we submit to Him, it happens because we're submitted to Him. He is our all in all. No matter what He's chosen for you to do, He will bring it to pass. I think the Scripture says that. He who begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in that day. What day? The day of Jesus Christ. When He returns and He calls us home, everything that you have been meant to do, if you've been in the head, if you've been under the leadership of His supervision, will have been completed. How many of us are going to get there and He's going to say, oh, almost? Isn't that a reality? Now, I don't mean almost getting in, but I mean almost done. Well, you know, you missed this. Well, you know, you missed that. Oh, you know, you didn't do that one either. I hate to say it, but when we look at ourselves, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, how many of those check marks are going to be in that little book? That we didn't do what we were supposed to do. That God enabled us, God equipped us, and because we weren't connected 100%, we missed some of it. Or we ignored it because we chose not to listen. How many times does that happen? Charles, how many times do you choose not to listen to Dad? Don't answer that question. Claim the fifth. He has no idea what that means, but Dad will explain it later. We're all there, aren't we? We all understand what I'm talking about. When we are truly connected to the head, when the head is in control, we can do far more than we ever could. Miss Terry got up here and she sung a song that was so far outside of her range. But you want to know what God did? God equipped us with a lady called Miss Sally. And Miss Sally, with her musical talent, with her gift, brought that piece of music into such a position, we didn't notice it. But she manipulated that piece of music that it was right in Terry's range. And it sounded beautiful, didn't it? It was modified to fit the individual. And that's exactly what God does in our lives. He will modify the circumstances of our lives to fit the individual so that you are completely and totally equipped to do everything that He has for you to do. Miss Eva, how does that make you feel? That God loves you so much that He knows, well, I know that's going to be difficult for you, so I'm going to do this, so now you don't have to worry about that. How does that make you feel that He loves you that much? Huh? How does that make you feel, Miss Leslie, knowing that He knows the difficulties that you have, and He knows where you're a little trepidatious, and He just pushes you just a little bit at a time, right? Just a little, not all at once. You know, He's not going to make you jump out there and go to Africa tomorrow. He might send you to New Jersey first. And that's a strange place. If you're from New Jersey and you're listening, I'm sorry. We need to understand that we have an equipper. And as we're connected to the head, we are enabled to do the things that only God can do through us. And what a wonder it is. Because I'll guarantee you right now, I'm doing things right now, this moment, that I am not capable of. But I'm submitting myself to Him. And in that, I'll do whatever He asks. And it's so amazing to watch God work. Have that conversation with me sometime. Invite me to a cup of coffee and ask me, Pastor, how does that work? I'm serious. And I will tell you stories that you will not believe. Because there are Sundays when I swear I'm sitting up there on stage watching myself as the Holy Spirit carries me around here. That's a reality. And I love it. Because in that reality, I then begin to realize how the third aspect comes into play. And the third aspect is that Jesus as head is our example as well. As our example, Jesus Christ lives His life through us, okay? To look at that, I want you to turn. We're right here in the book of Ephesians. All we have to do is continue where we left off. Look at verse 14 through 24. He says from verse 14, then we will no longer be infants. Remember, because we have to go back here, I want to go back, all right? He says in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. What's this talking about? What's this boiled down to? This boils down to having life in the Spirit, being born of the Spirit. That when Jesus Christ is in us, when Jesus Christ is our head, He is our example. And as we submit to that example, He begins to live in us and through us, and the Spirit of God dwells in us, and we are changed from the inside out. That's being born again. That is allowing the Holy Spirit to run and rule and reign in your life in such a way that the old man is gone, the new man has come. And in that, we live the life that Jesus Christ Himself lives, because He is growing in us and through us. Just as Jesus was our example when we read the teachings, He then becomes the example living through us to the rest of the world. Hence the name of this church, the Heart of Jesus Christ. All right? The Heart of Christ Church, transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. When we take Jesus on as the head, He equips us and empowers us to do the things that only the church can do. Now, I hate to tell you this, you are part of the church. You ain't the church. All right? I can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. But together, we, with Christ as the head, are an unstoppable body. Nothing in the world can stop the body of Christ if it truly, truly exists with Christ as the head. That's not my words. They're His. All things come under His authority. Not some things, all things. When we look at this word, we have a hope. We have a reality here that tells us that each and every one of us is being built back into that image. Do you know what that image is? It's the image that Adam was given at creation. Adam was given the image of God. But Adam chose sin and he began walking in sin. Jesus came to our world because we were lost. We were without hope. We were without any redemptive qualities whatsoever. And in that, when we accept Christ, He comes into us and He restores the image that was sold for a piece of food. Now I want you to think about that. How many of us have sold our soul for even less? And God says, I love you so much. I love you so much that if you but believe by faith, receive, and then do. Remember, the gift's free, right? I'm probably one of the only pastors in the world that you're ever going to hear this from. The gift of salvation is free. It is there for the taking. Any and every man, woman, and child who would receive the gift of salvation, it is there for you in the name of Jesus Christ. But when you receive that free gift, and you truly apply that free gift to yourself, it will cost you everything. Because we have to die. The sin that is in us has to pass, and it needs to go away. It will cost you everything this world has ever given you. Praise His holy name, because He gives us eternal things. He gives us the good gifts. He gives us the things that will last forever and ever. He gives us the hope of a tomorrow that will never end. He gives us the reality of a love of God that can never be known by any man, woman, or child in the singularity of this world, but unto the next in eternity, where it will take us that long to live it out, to plumb it out, to figure out just how much, how deep, how wide, how high is the love of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when we put Christ as the head, we truly have the all in all. We have the beginning, we have the end, and we have everything in the middle. Why do we keep taking it off and putting this flesh head right back on? let us today make it our determination to place Christ as our head, the true head of the church, that we may do the work of Him who has called us unto heaven, and that we may know the fullness of God therein. For in that you will truly find yourself. You will find who you are meant to be, who God desires you to be, and how God wants to love you. Do you know one of the greatest ways you can experience the love of God is to truly find your call? And God calls every one of us by name. Every one of us. He has something for you. Now, does that mean you're going to have to go to Africa? I don't know. It might. But if it does, God's going to prepare you to go. How about it, Mitch? Amen. It might be just sweeping the floor here in the gym. Until we get our facility, then you can clean the whole place. But if that's your call, you're going to find joy. You're going to find purpose. You're going to find hope in every dust bunny you chase down. Think about that. The mundane becomes holy. We don't think about those things, do we? But God's thinking about them right now in your life at this moment. Will we choose Christ as our head? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we give Thee thanks for the grace and the mercy that You bestow upon us. For Lord, You have shown us the love that only You can give. A love that allows us to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, and know that You are good. So Lord, may we choose You. May we call on Your name. And then thereby walk by the words that You have given us, submitting ourselves to Your thoughts, taking captive our thoughts and casting them away, and drawing nigh unto Thee, that we may be the body of Christ, the church, that held together, we would do the work that You would have for us, and that we could accomplish all the good for this world unto eternity. For this is not our home, but we are here as sojourners, as visitors, and in this day we are to call those who will so be journeys with us and come unto the grace, love, and salvation of Jesus Christ, becoming part of our body, becoming part of the kingdom therein, by which we are called Christian, Jesus the Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God's people said,
amen.
And amen.